everyone, welcome back to Pretending with Dice. As always, I'm your host and game master, AJ. Well, we've made it to the finale episode of this little D&D storyline that we've been running for the last couple of months. I really hope you've all enjoyed it. It's all been leading to this. The main reason I'm doing this intro today, though, is to announce what's coming next. I know a lot of you have been excited to hear news about Season 2 of Frontier, and, well, I've got some for you. Essentially, what's going to happen is, after this episode, we're going to be taking a slightly longer than normal break between episodes. Normally, it's every 2 weeks. We're going to be having a four-week gap, and then we're going to be airing our very special sort of Season 1 retrospective. Myself and all the cast got together and kind of talked our way through everything that happened in Season 1, added our thoughts, and... Yeah, it was a lot of fun, sort of a bit like one of our bonus episodes that we've done, but sort of also like recommended listening if you haven't listened to Season 1, or whether you just want a memory refresh, or if you just like hearing us talk about Star Trek. So yeah, that's going to be coming in 4 weeks' time, and then 2 weeks after that, on May 23rd, is the first episode of Season 2 of Frontier, and yeah, we couldn't be happier for that to be coming up, and we've had so much fun making, we had so much fun making Season 1, Season 2 we're having so much fun making as well. I've said online, Frontier is one of my favourite things to do on the podcast in our whole nearly 7 years of doing the thing, so we're really, really excited to share that all with you. Okay, so with that big announcement out of the way then, let's get into today's episode. The conclusion of this little storyline, this little D&D storyline, let's get into A Night at the Opera. Enjoy. So, Kirik, are you sort of stood side of the stage? Where are you?
Where is Miriam currently?
Well, she said she does. She told you her character doesn't come into the second act. I think at this point she has sort of returned to her room. You can see she hasn't closed the door, but she's just kind of making some final adjustments to her hair and sort of costume to make sure she's sort of fully ready, but she's, you know, you can keep her in view fairly easily.
Okay, I think Kirik is actually gonna move a little bit further backstage, so he's still off stage, he's well behind the curtain. But he can see a bit more of what's going on both on stage and what's happening off stage.
Right, okay. So you have a fairly good view as the first act has begun. Earlier on in the day, you'd been given a rundown of like how the sort of story plays out. So you know this is all kind of as expected. It opens on a small village, and there are some characters that only appear in this opening sort of section, and you watch the whole thing kind of play out as. Through, you know, some quite overwrought musical numbers. it's an opera, but yeah. Through opera, that makes it sound like a jukebox musical. But the story of how the demon was accidentally summoned by a young man who had, using a spell book that he did not have the power to control, and the rest of his village were killed.
Tale as old as time.
Yeah. Happens every day. You hate to see it. You feel a little bit of a breeze on your cheek. Sort of a little bit of winter air is getting in here from somewhere.
It's time to look around. I think he's gonna like brush his cheek where that was just to make sure, like, did I actually just feel that? Can I tell what direction it came from?
To your right, I think. Kind of to
is it heading to stage or off stage?
Off stage, heading towards where the stage door area was.
Okay, can I cast Summon Fae?
Sure.
It's going to be a mirthful Fae. Making a note because that's important.
Sure.
So he's going to summon a Fae, and this is not like a huge Fae. This is maybe the size of... I'm just going to make this up. It's maybe the size of like a house cat.
Okay. Is that kind of the form it's taking as well, or is it...
Yeah. Yeah, and it's got like a little bell on its collar.
Mm-hmm.
It has three eyes, so you can tell immediately that that is not like of this world. It's got little wings on it.
Yeah, it kind of fades in, kind of curled over your shoulder.
Hello, Mimsy. I need you to do something for me while I'm... Yeah, I need you to keep an eye out here. And if anything happens, like someone tries to kill the king, for example, yell the word chicken.
Can do, boss.
Perfect Mimsy voice. I think, actually, Kirk's going to reach into his bag and he's going to share one of his mystery chocolates that he got.
Ooh, okay.
Hand it to Mimsy.
Roll a d20.
It's a 19.
19? This is a strawberry cream.
Ooh. Wait, does Mimsy like strawberry? I guess we're going to find out. So Kirik fishes into his little bag of mystery chocolate and he hands Mimsy a really nice looking... It's got like a glossy, smooth edge to it.
Hmm.
It's a milk chocolate on the outside anyway, and he hands it over.
Kind of goes in straight in the mouth. And goes,
I love strawberries. Good thing I'm not a dog, you know. We can't have chocolate.
I wasn't actually sure if that applied to Faye, but I kind of figured the sugar...
I don't know either.
Well, that would have been a... This would not be a good time to find that out. But, you know, it's all right.
You're telling me.
I wouldn't... You know I wouldn't knowingly poison you.
Knowingly, huh?
Stage manner goes past. Shh.
Sorry.
Hey, I'm talking here.
No. Mimsy, we gotta be quiet. We're backstage. And this is an opera.
Ooh, fancy.
I know. I don't know quite what I'm doing here, to be honest with you, but we need to save the king.
We're gonna be heroes. Is that what you're saying?
I hope so. I gotta go now, Mimsy. You just keep an eye out. Remember, yell the word chicken.
Chicken. Okay.
If anything's wrong. Hope to God this isn't an opera about chickens.
The dance of the chickens begins.
Shit!
No, there is no... I don't think there's a dance of the chickens.
So Kirik turns and he leaves Mimsy to the backstage area and he heads back towards that stage door.
Sure, okay. You find the stage door area surprisingly quiet. You would expect there to be more people. Given the hustle and bustle of the whole kind of backstage area itself, you would think there would be more people kind of moving back and forth here. But as you kind of step into the sort of, like, I don't want to say loading dock, because it's not, there's no lorries
but
or anything.
But it kind of is. Yeah, it's kind it's of like a loading dock. A bay area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as you would expect it. There's nobody kind of... Nobody keeping watch. There's nobody kind of moving anything around here. It's just kind of abandoned. But the door itself... The door is kind of half open. There's a breeze coming in. Which, given it's the winter, is not quite right.
Well, that they left the door open at all. I think he's seeing this. He's going to rush to Miriam's dressing room.
Okay. She is still in there. You don't find anything out of place on the way. I mean, you were kind of near her dressing room, I think, anyway, or at least in sight of it when you went that way. So you've kind of almost, you've gone from where it is to the back door and then back to it. So somebody would have had to go past you to get to it.
Okay, good.
So you don't see anything out of place there. But she kind of, as I say, the door is kind of still half open where she had been, you know, she'd gone in to do her hair. And she sort of looks up as you kind of reappear. What's happening?
Oh, nothing. I'm just making rounds. Do you want me to roll a deception on that?
Cause, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because it's pretty obvious.
I think so, yeah. That's
19.
Okay, I was rolling insight to see if she saw through it, and I rolled a 10, so...
she's distracted.
She is, yeah, she's distracted, she's busy, and like, even if you are, you know, you're sensing that something might be up, you manage to keep it from your face as you tell her this.
Okay, can I go investigate the half-open door?
Sure.
And see if it was, like, propped open because it gets hot back there, or if it was, like, what the circumstances of it being open are?
Sure. Can I get an investigation check from you then?
Absolutely.
Back in the loading dock area.
Oh, 14.
14. There isn't like a brick or anything propping it open. It almost looks like somebody opened it, walked through and kept walking and didn't close it behind them. You do see, I think, some snow has been tracked in.
Can I peek my head out and see if there's like a carriage that we've seen before out here?
Yeah, they're not directly in front of the door or anything, but kind of you can see like parked by the gateway is a carriage.
Oh, I suppose any number of people could have used that, though.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have a... there is a carriage there. That's all I can give you, really. Whether it's the same carriage or not, yeah.
I don't think you actually saw it anyway.
No.
I was the only one who saw it.
Yeah, that was Mary who saw it, but...
Yeah. You had a good description of it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a bumper sticker that says, like, belongs to trustworthy Tonys, whatever.
My other carriage wasn't stolen in a murder in the woods.
Yeah.
No obvious bumper stickers.
Yeah, I never heard to ask. Okay. Kirk is now officially on high alert, and he's going to go back inside. He's going to actually fully close that door.
Okay, yeah. At the very least, you're not letting any of the hot air out.
Yeah, don't let the cold in. People get sick.
Yeah.
How far into the backstage area does the snow go? Is it just, like, kind of blown in?
It not a long way. It's been tracked in a few feet, but it's almost... It wasn't, like, heavily snowing outside or anything.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it'd been snowing recently, and we're still, like... in winter, so the snow hasn't gone away, so it's just more like people kind of stumped in with snow on their boots, and it's, you know, there's some tracks in a little way, but like as soon as they're inside, really, it's kind of the footprints sort of stop. They're kind of heading away, not towards the side of the stage with Marianne's dressing room, but towards the other side.
Can I tell if they're like obviously men's shoes, women's shoes, adolescent shoes?
I guess do another investigation, I think.
Okay. That's a whopping 5.
Right. Yeah, tough to tell. They definitely were made by feet of some sort.
Yeah, definitely shoes were in here.
Somebody in here has been wearing footwear.
Suspicious. I think having Mimsy up by the stage, I think Kirik is going to... He's going to stay backstage, like back here, where he can see the corridor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's closer to the stage door now than he was to the actual stage.
Yeah, okay. You're sort of keeping an eye in case anybody comes in again from where the stage door is, but also sort of being able to keep an eye on the dressing rooms then. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But yeah, the footprints seem to be, as I say, heading off the other way, if anything.
Okay.
Now you're back in this area again. There's people moving around and things and everything. But, like, yeah, the stage door area was the bit that was suspiciously quiet.
Is it still suspiciously quiet?
Well, you've kind of... Yeah, I mean, a little bit. You're not seeing anybody else in that area. Now you're kind of back towards the stage. You've got a view into the stage itself and stuff, and there's people moving around and things. And I mean, this is kind of a historical opera. It's kind of telling the story of... a demon war sort of thing, and there's a lot of stuff going on, so there's a lot of very quick costume changes happening with the choruses and, you know, and the dancers and stuff. They're basically running on stage doing a bit and then getting put into another thing, and then they're back on stage. You know, there's a lot of chopping and changing. Marion is lucky that she's not on yet, really, it seems. She's very busy. But yeah, so I mean, there is a lot of hustle and bustle kind of around where you are. It's just not... Yeah,
weird moment. He's gonna chalk it up to just a strange lull while everyone was on stage or something. Part of me is kind of curious to follow those footsteps and see where they went. I don't think we've really been around that other side of the stage.
I don't think you really have, no.
Yeah. I think he's going to give one last look towards the dressing rooms, and it seems like everything's okay. I think that's he's going to go follow the footsteps.
Mimsy's there, so Mimsy kind of gives you a nod of like,
I got this, boss.
Mimsy on deck. Yeah, I'm going to go explore.
Okay. Yeah, you get to the other side of the stage. There's there's some similar operations going on there in terms of like moving of cast and crew around and everything. That side of the stage has the sort of stage manager and the director have got a little sort of post on the side of the stage where they're kind of making hand signals and cueing going on and things like this. The opera itself at this point seems to be going off without a hitch, and I would say, Miri, you're very enthralled by it so far. I haven't really got anything else to update you on there, Miri, because from your point of view, it's certainly been a show so far. But yeah, because as you head around, there are sort of a lot more kind of storage areas and closed off sort of sections on this side of the stage than there are on the other one. There are some other dressing rooms, as you know, like Hildegard and Antonio went this way. So they are, you get a view of that. You can see them kind of getting ready and waiting at the side of the stage for their cues and things. But yeah, this area has a lot more kind of nooks and crannies and closed off areas in it.
I don't see anyone who is like oddly Marianne shaped.
I mean, make a perception check, I suppose, but that's tough to say because Marianne is like, I don't think I fully specified it, she's like, I guess, fairly average height and build.
Well, I got a critical one, so
you have trouble seeing anybody.
Oopsies.
Here. Yeah,
there's a lot going on.
There's a lot of humanoids here. It's kind of dark. You step to this side of the stage, and there is a you suddenly get dazzled by a special effect that goes off. And as you're looking around, you're blinking your eyes, and you're having trouble readjusting to the darkness.
Oh, dazzling! But yeah, he's a little befuddled by that. Kirika's going to stay back on this side of the stage.
Okay.
Because Mimsy's got it over on the other side.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want eyes on both angles here.
Okay. So, as you're kind of standing there, kind of blinking away the effects of this thing, you get your vision back. Yeah, you're not really, as I say, kind of really clocking anybody kind of Marianne-shaped. So the first act is sort of coming to a close. There is a representation of what was like the first kind of major battle in the Demon War going on. There's a lot of wailing and gnashing of, sort of noises from the stage as musically, you know, they're all sort of lamenting and things like this. And there's a lot of
chickens.
Yeah, no chickens. A lot of chicken noises from the stage.
The chicken army.
The Battle of the Coop, as it was called. There's a lot of extras in like faux kind of battle gear are coming back covered in fake blood and such. And there's the introduction at this point of the first another group of extras of the first cultists who were worshippers of the demon, and they were the other sort of main side of this sort of battle in the opening stages of the war kind of thing. And definitely you sort of see, you know, the extras kind of filing past, they're kind of shaking their robes on, and as they're heading to the stage. Can I get a perception check from you?
Yeah, mine is a little bit better at a 13.
Okay, you're kind of looking around and you see heading onto the stage as well, like with this group is the battle participants in that. A few of the cultists are kind of hanging around off stage. You didn't notice. They seem to be keeping a close eye on the proceedings.
Like in a way that they're like, it's a little sketch, or are they just like interested?
It just kind of notice like, what's up with these guys? Why didn't they go on?
Are they also like me being a creep backstage?
They are kind of, yeah, there's some creep-like behavior going on.
Is there like an extra who's heading off stage but who isn't like in a super rush or anything?
Yeah, there's one who was just briefly killed on stage and is coming off to get put into a new outfit.
I think Keurig's gonna reach out and kind of gently tap this extra's arm.
Oh, yes, hello?
Yes, good job getting murdered out there. Good job.
Thank you.
Do you know those people?
And he points over to the other group.
I'm doing security and, I'm not sure what they're doing here.
The guy kind of squints.
The cultists, they ought to be on stage right now. He turns and goes, they're going to get us all in trouble. And he heads up to the...
Fellas,
what are you doing? Need to get out there.
One of them turns around and clocks him in the side of the head. And the guy crumples to the floor.
Oh! Chicken! Chicken! Chicken!
I definitely thought you said clucks him in the side of the head.
Clucks him in the side of the head.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't even think that through.
That's so perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, you're shouting chicken. Shout over the sounds of the orchestra, I guess, yeah. And the kind of battle sounds and things. There's quite a distance between you and Booga, definitely. You, Miri might have a better chance of hearing this. I guess from Booga and Miri, can I get perception checks?
Just quickly checking my abilities to see if there's anything that I could do to... I don't think I can.
I think it would be disadvantage from Booga.
Oh.
Just because of the distance. I'm thinking, like, you are, like, diagonally the other side of the building, basically.
That's fair.
Can Mimsy hear me? How close is Keurig to the wings?
Can Mimsy hear you? That's a very good question. I think I'm going to have you roll a perception. Maybe I should roll for Mimsy, I think. Although, you did summon Mimsy, so maybe...
At disadvantage, I got a six.
Okay. I think over the sounds of the battle and the fake battle and the orchestra and all the effects going off, maybe you don't hear chicken. Booga.
Booga's just stood there silently staring at the wall, wishing he could be seeing this and hearing the noise.
Yeah, it sounds very impressive.
I got a 13.
13?
Mimsy got a 17.
17. Mimsy is right on it. Mimsy, I think, instinctually, I think, know where you are. As a summoned fae, I think there's a certain level of connection implied.
I'm cool with it.
I'm cool. You know, that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? You know.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's kind of effects going off on stage. I mean, this is a big production. And Mimsy actually is able to kind of almost sort of fly themselves behind and through the backdrops of the stage to kind of basically take a shortcut directly to you, I think. But it's still going to take a round of combat if you're going into combat. But what are you doing, basically, other than, like, you've seen this guy get punched and you're shouting the word chicken? I think when you shout it as well, these four just turn and immediately look at you as well. And
Have you seen someone dressed as a chicken? I think they're needed for this fight.
Make a deception check, I guess. I don't know if I was fully expecting that.
21.
21. They look confused. One of them just goes,
yeah, get out of here. I ain't seen the chickens.
Sure.
Is that, you notice at this point, this is four burly looking dudes. And one of them, when you turned, had almost looked like he was about, you know, sort of hand to his belt to pull something from his belt.
I'll just go then.
And I think Keurig's going to try to walk away kind of calmly.
Yeah.
But the second that he's out of eyesight, he's going to book it towards Mimsy.
Yeah, okay.
And towards that other side of the stage.
Sure, yeah. No problem. You can do that. Miri, I think with a 13, you maybe heard what you thought might have been the word chicken from somewhere.
Oh. Can I place or sort of what direction I heard her from? Did I hear from the stage? Did I hear from the house?
Just kind of generally from the sort of stage area. It's tough to tell from where you are, but you think it might be on your side of the auditorium.
Okay.
Like, in terms of left and right.
Okay, so I am going to see if I can get backstage.
Sure. Okay. I think you're able to just slip out of the box and, you know...
Yeah.
Without,
Is there a way backstage without going back out to the mezzanine? Or back out to the, main foyer?
Yeah, there definitely... I mean, you... I think we can sort of retcon that you know, when you were given the tour, you were shown, like, the different... I mean, you're already shown some of the backstage areas and, like, the sort of access corridors and things. I don't think we specifically said about this side of the building, but I think we could have, you know, we can say that you in the whole afternoon, you were able to kind of, between the three of you, get a good, lay of the land sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So you do know there is a kind of access sort of staff corridor just the other side of the wall that you're able to kind of get down into and get to the area. That's no trouble.
Then I am going to try to get down there as fast as I can.
Sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah. It takes you maybe 20 seconds to just kind of extricate yourself from the box and kind of duck into this service area where it's sort of a corridor where staff, you know, they're carrying drinks orders and things to people in the boxes and stuff like that, you know.
Is there a way to get to the catwalks backstage?
Yeah, I think so, but not directly from where you are. I think you'd have to get to the backstage area and then go up.
Okay. I was just wondering if there was a way I could get to the catwalks from where I am and then, like, slide down one of the...
No, not really from where you are, because, I mean, you were kind of in, like, a public area, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, you can get to the backstage area. As it where you come in, you're kind of going up to the side of the stage for up a small set of steps, and you can see there's the stage manager and the director are fairly focused on the action that's going on stage. You get kind of, I think, a good view of what's going on here as you kind of hurry onto there. You see Kirik kind of backing away towards the corridor. It seems like the actual cast and crew, by most accounts, haven't really noticed the four people that Kirik is backing away from, who they're kind of a little bit behind one of the backdroppy type things.
Okay.
I think from the perspective of the stage manager, this is how I'm kind of picturing it.
Okay.
But yeah, you can see there is a guy on the floor, kind of unconscious, and four kind of nasty looking guys, kind of in the same robes as the people on stage who are playing the cultists. So they don't look out of place, they're just not where, you know, they're not with the others, and they also look not like actors. And, Kirik is backing away from them. I think, Kirik, you would maybe clock Miri kind of stepping up onto the step, you know, the stage as well, from the angle that I'm kind of picturing.
Just to make it extra clear what he's looking at, he's going to point in the direction of that little group of people that were hovering on the side of the stage.
I would like to go closer to Kirik and ask what happened. What did you see? What happened?
They don't belong here, and they absolutely decked this poor man who is working back here. They're assholes. They shouldn't be here.
Okay. Let's see if we can get them out of here peacefully. Okay, so Miri is going to stride up to them, all 5 foot of her or whatever. And I am going to try to intimidate them.
Sure. What do you say to do this?
You don't look like you belong here, and you've been making aggressive moves toward the cast, and I think you should leave.
Okay, make an intimidation check for me as you face down these four dudes.
17.
That's pretty good.
All 5 foot, whatever. Yeah. I've got my lance strapped to my back. You can see it.
Okay. Too. Yeah. So you are armed and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a fairly pink shirt, but I have my lance. So.
Yeah. Okay. The four guys kind of exchange a look. One of them just goes,
We need to take care of this.
Is he talking to the other ones of them, or is he talking to me?
The other ones of them.
Okay.
One of them pulls out a dagger.
I am immediately going to throw. I don't know how close to them I am.
Will you tell me how close did you get to them?
I kind of get up in their faces.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw my net at them.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Well, I guess we'll call this the surprise round before we go into combat then.
I'm going to throw my net at the fucker with the dagger.
Okay, roll to do that then.
Okay. That is a 16.
16? Okay. The dude with the dagger. That is a hit, yeah.
A larger, smaller creature hit by a net is restrained until it is free. A net has no effect on creatures that are formless or creatures that are huge or larger. I'm assuming he's, like, medium.
Yeah, he's medium humanoid. Well, medium, he's just straight up human.
He appears to be medium human. A creature can use its action to make a DC 10 strength check, freeing itself or another creature when it's reached on a success. Dealing 5 slashing damage to the net also frees the creature.
Right, okay, so before he knows what's going on, you just whip out this net and just kind of snare him in it. The other three are surprised, but they also... Another one pulls out another dagger, and the two burlier looking ones, a bit more muscled than the dagger wielding guys, pull out sort of, they look like kind of like maces. They're sort of truncheon-y type things, but yeah, functionally they're maces basically.
Okay. I don't know how you do surprise rounds, but I have another attack. I have 2 attacks per action.
Yeah, we'll call this you get a full round of attacks, and then we'll just roll some
initiative
after that.
Did they both draw?
Yeah, the other ones, yeah, they will draw their weapons. Or at least they will in response after this surprise,
yeah.
I think.
Right, yeah. So I am going to throw a first level guiding bolt at them.
Sure.
At one of them.
Okay. Which one? You got 2 thug, sort of... we'll call them thugs, because that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 thugs, 2 dagger guys.
Okay, so I'll just pick one of them. We'll call him A.
Okay. This is one of the... Not the guy that you've netted. This is one of the other...
Right, not the guy on the ground.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20, okay. Well, it definitely hits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is a really bad roll. 9.
9? Okay, well, it's good to start. This is basically a free surprise round, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he takes the bolt and it just, like, burns brightly in his chest for a second.
And I'm going to yell as loudly as I can in hopes that Boogie hears, "Chicken!"
Okay, Booger, can I get a perception check?
Fingers crossed. 18.
Okay, yeah, you heard that one. Yeah.
Hell yeah!
What? I'm trying to think what's even the... Get there.
Yeah, you left one service entrance open on that VIP area. You got him to close the other... You got Horace to close the other ones, but there is one service entrance that you can get to the backstage area. You'll be on the wrong side of the stage, but you can get down there.
Okay. Does that mean that I'm presented with, like, to get to the other side of the stage, can I remain backstage, or do I need to cross the stage?
Well, we're going to be in combat now anyway, so I think your first round of movement will get you down to the wrong side of the stage.
Okay.
If that's what you want to do, but I think we're all going to have to roll initiative now anyway, I think.
Uh-huh. I got a 16, in fact, with the plus 1, so that would be 17.
17 for Booger.
12 for Kirik.
12 for Kirik.
Oh, shit.
Doesn't sound good.
I don't like the sounds of that.
6.
Okay.
That was nat 1, in case anyone's wondering.
Ouch.
I've got some good news for you. I rolled a 5 for one of them. Well, for 2 of them, actually. Because I'm splitting them into 2, because there's kind of like 2 types. There's the more kind of like the dagger-wielding ones and the mace-wielding ones. I'm splitting them into 2. And
okay. The
mace winning ones rolled a 5. You got a surprise round in, at least. And you will be going again before the that. But it's Booger's go to begin with them as we roll into this combat. but you are starting kind of on the in the VIP area. So I think if you dash, you can get to the side of the stage.
Okay.
So this is like movement and action. You can get down to the service area, and you can get to the side of the stage that's like the opposite side of the stage from where this is all going down.
Is that taken into account, the extra 10 feet of movement that I've got?
I think so, yeah, because you're basically okay. Running up a corridor, opening like a hatch, mm-hmm. getting down some steps, and then getting to the side of the stage. I think that would really...
Okay.
I know we haven't got a map, but that's a fit. In my head, that's 6 seconds it's going to take you to get there.
Yeah.
I think.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think there's anything else I can really reasonably do. Can I see them at this point?
I think, yeah, I mean, it's a case of, like, there is, like, scenery backdrop stuff and, like, stuff mostly blocking your way, but the guiding bolt gives off a little bit of a blast of energy, and you know where sort of the direction it came from. And as you're kind of looking across the stage, I think you can probably see Kirik hanging out, like, getting rid of it. And, yeah, you know, they're not completely hidden. I mean, they're mostly... I think it's all hidden from the people, like the audience and that, mm-hmm. behind, like, because it is, you know, it's off to the side of the stage and it's behind some stuff as well. So it's not, you know, it's not in plain view, but you've got a good idea of where it is and you think you can spy Kirik. You know, you're looking across the open stage where a performance is happening to see this, but yeah, you are, you've got an idea of where you're going.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll end my turn there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to dash to get there. Yeah, that would have been full movement plus action movement instead, so that makes sense. I'm picturing as well the scene of, like, you're kind of trying to quietly stand there in the VIP corridor while these very professional-looking royal guards are there, and you, in the distance, you just hear, "Chicken!" And you kind of, your head goes up, and you just sprint past them through a hatch somewhere.
That might be a little bit suspicious.
A little bit, but like you don't hear clanking behind you as, you know, as if they've sprinted after you or anything like that. So, but this is all happening quite quickly as well, I will say. But like,
yeah. Just thinking that I'm hungry.
Like, he's heard the call of the chicken.
Yep. Gotta get those cheeky dandies.
Oh yeah.
The nugs. Do it for the nugs.
It is Kirik's go.
About how far away from me are they?
In my head, I think you kind of backed up a little bit and then Miri arrived and you maybe came back around the corner. So maybe... Yeah, I don't think you're in, like, direct melee range, but you could get there. So I guess you're maybe 15, 20 feet from them.
Okay.
Is it bad to put a number on it?
No, that's fine. That's good. Can they see me or is there a curtain between me and them?
I think they can see you at this point. I know we sort of, you'd sort of backed around the corner, but I think with Miri coming to you and sort of saying what's going on and then you pointing them out, in my head you both kind of came back around the corner a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's all, again, like I say, it's all happening very quickly and they're all very focused on Miri, who just came up to them, told them to fuck off, and then hit one of them with a net and another one with a guiding bolt. So that Miri's very immediate to them. But yeah.
Would it be conceivable for me to drop a rope and cast snare behind them? Or are they, like, fully... How solid is the corner that's between me and them, I guess is my question. Because if it's a curtain, he'll just, like, slip his hand under and tap the floor, slap a rope down. But if it's, like, a solid wall, obviously that won't work.
I think we can say it's a curtain.
Rad. I would like to do that.
So you're throwing down a rope, and is it like animating the rope? I'm not entirely sure how the...
So with what it looks like when he does this, he like drops down like he's going, oh shit, there's a fight, oh god, throwing things. So he drops down and he just reaches his hand and he grabs a rope from his bag real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And he slaps the rope in a circle on the ground. It has, let me see, got a 5-foot radius to it.
It's sort of like you're making like a lasso kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a tripwire almost, or not quite that, but like one of those snares that grabs your foot and then yanks you upwards.
Yeah.
So you're held restrained there for a while. So he's going to slap that on the floor. So if they try to go through that, whoever walks through gets caught.
Okay, so you're just kind of rolling out behind the... behind the curtain that's next to them, sort of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Is this a spell or are you making...
It's a spell.
Yeah, okay.
If they're trying to see it, it's nearly invisible and it would require an intelligence check against my DC to see it there.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
And then if they get trapped, it's a dex saving throw to get out.
Sure, okay. Right. Are you moving at all or is this...
Just to the extent that he has to drop to the floor to touch the ground and the rope to trigger the spell.
Okay. I think it's Mimsy's go then.
Oh, right.
I think I'm kind of packaging Mimsy in with your go here, really, but like...
I think that's probably the best way to handle it, unless you want to track Mimsy's initiative separately.
You know what? It's complicated enough as it is. We'll you summoned Mimsy, we'll kind of package deal you in. Yeah. So Mimsy has, you know, it's very quick. Mimsy had made it over here when you shouted chicken.
So, what do we do, boss?
Kill them? Help Miri? I don't know. Anything.
So at your word of like, we should kill the Mimsy. Mimsy sort of,
okay.
I've been picturing Mimsy's movement as kind of a little bit kind of erratic and like, and it like almost like it's sort of phasing from one point to another, and it's sort of Mimsy kind of darts forward and sort of a little bit of a kind of whirlwind sort of uppercut of vague energy cat claw types. You know, it's tough to tell exactly what Mimsy does when this kind of attack happens, I think. But it is effective, so I guess roll an attack roll for Mimsy.
18.
18, yeah, that's a hit.
Hooray!
Which one were you attacking, by the way? We got one dude under the net, another dude who's also kind of got a dagger, and that the two sort of slightly bulkier guys who've got, like, maces.
Not the net guy, but whichever one is closer to Miri at that point. Is that the dagger guy, I would guess?
Yeah, I think the dagger guy.
All right, he'll go after dagger guy.
Well, 18 is a hit, at the very least.
All right, let me do some damage. Okay, 11 piercing and 6 force.
11 piercing, 6 force. It's a pretty good hit. So yeah, before this guy even knows what's sort of hitting, this sort of phasing Mimsy... cigar smoking EV evolution type thing just kind of comes out of nowhere and hits him for 17 damage. Is pretty good.
Damn, trying to show me up,
tried to save your life.
Yeah, so this guy takes a good hit out of Mimsy here.
Hell yeah, Mimsy.
Mimsy, a good late addition to the party, I think.
Indeed.
Mira looks over and goes, ah!
He's friendly-ish, sort of,
to you? To me?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is the dagger guy's go. To get out of the net, then, what is it? What did you say it was? It was,
So he can make a strength save DC 10.
DC 10, okay. I rolled a 5. So he is still under the net. That's pretty much his turn, isn't it? I think.
Someone else can free him by dealing 5 slashing damage to that.
I don't think they've all been caught a little bit by surprise here, so I don't think they've quite gotten
by got a cat the throwing a net at them.
Yeah. You really did like just suddenly like so they haven't really got like all the kind of wherewithal to do that, but the other one is going to take a slash at you, the one who just got hit by Mimsy.
Okay,
but it's going to take a slash at you with his dagger. That is a 23 to hit,
maybe a little bit.
Thankfully it's just a dagger, so it only does 1d4 plus 2 damage, so
it's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, that I rolled a 2, so that is 4 points of piercing damage to you.
4 total? Okay. Yeah. I hiss at him.
It's actually your go now, Miri.
I am going to hit that dude with my lance.
Same dude? The guy who just sliced at you with the dagger?
He's the dude I hit already, right?
No, there's a different dude with the guiding bolt.
So I'll take a swing at the dude who I got bolted.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, that sucks.
12.
Okay. That does hit him, actually.
Oh, it does. Yay. Okay. Yay.
Is that 12 with advantage?
That is 12 with advantage.
Okay. Good thing we had the guiding bolt then.
Because I rolled really bad.
Yeah, this guy, he's not really wearing, like, armor. He's just kind of, like, heavily padded cloak, it looks like. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to throw a level 1 smite on this.
Okay.
So, that's plus 2d6.
Okay, this guy's about to have a very bad day.
16, 17.
17, okay. He's looking real bad.
Mm-hmm.
He's not down yet, though.
Okay, so that was my first attack, so I get to attack 3.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a hit. I rolled a 17 on the die.
That's definitely a hit, yeah.
And I am going to throw another level 1 smite on this.
Okay.
That's a 19.
19 damage. Okay, yeah, this guy...
Oh, no, it's a 20. 20. Sorry, 20 okay. damage.
Either way, this guy's out. I guess describe how you take him down.
So I think I, like, skewered him just, like, straight on the front.
Yeah.
Like, right under his chin, like, straight down.
Okay. That's pretty gruesome.
And then I'm going to throw him off, like, to the side.
Okay, I was going to say, onto the stage?
Not onto stage. No, not onto stage. But I'm going to throw him off to the side so that he's not in my way for the other guys.
Sure, no problem. Okay, you throw him off to the side and he kind of slides along the... bumps into the stage manager's desk who sort of... Frank, you met earlier, the stage manager. He kind of seemed pretty unflappable, and he still seems pretty unflappable here. And he just stubs out a cigarette and goes, "Fucking opening nights." Turns and walks away.
It is so opening night, though. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The director has fainted because you've just killed the dude in front of him.
I was going to ask if the director had watched us murder this man, yeah. But...
yeah. There's a thump as this dude's corpse hits the floor, and then another thump, a lighter thump as it hits the side of the desk, and there is a third thump as the director hits the floor in a swoon.
And I look over and I say, "Oh, sorry."
You see the retreating back of Frank, who's just shaking his head like, "Fucking hell." Okay, so that's one dead dude. That, I think, is that your turn? I think that's your turn.
That is my turn.
Yeah.
That was the 2 attacks per action. And I don't want to move.
Okay.
I'm going to keep tanking if I can.
So his companion then is the other guy with the maces thing. He's just seen you cast down his fellow
mm-hmm.
guy, and he looks up at you. "Oh, you're going to get it now." And he's going to hit you twice with his mace. Let's do them one at a time to not confuse matters. That is a 22 to hit.
Yeah, sure.
For 7 damage. Bludgeoning.
Okay.
And the other one's going to miss because it's a 10.
Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
Ah.
I think that is his turn. That was his multi-attack.
I stick out my tongue at him.
He's enraged by your... flippant attitude directly after murdering.
Blowing raspberries is a free action. Damn it.
I think we're back round to Booga.
Okay.
I think from your vantage point at the start of this turn, you definitely see Miri dispatch a dude because his corpse slides across the side of the stage at the very least. It's not on the stage, you know, but you definitely you see it go down from where you are.
Okay. Well, my options in terms of getting over to the fight then, am I going to have to cross the stage with the like play?
It's the quickest way of getting there, but it is up to you.
Well, on that basis, Booga, in the moment, he's charging forward full speed ahead. Going to run across the stage shouting, "Chicken!"
Okay.
And yeah, he'll be running up to the back of the nearest person. As he shouted "chicken," he went into rage.
Okay.
And yeah, I will attack the closest person.
Some of the dancers fall over as you elbow your way across the stage. The people are beginning to react to this combat that's going on here.
I think there's some gasps from the crowd as you come barreling across the stage with your weapons out, shouting "chicken," and definitely there's like
because people wouldn't all react immediately. I think part of the orchestra, like the this is like a sort of jittering halt to the music as the conductor eyes go wide and a bunch of people miss their cues and stuff, and like the dancers are very quickly like reacting, you know, to you and that and everything, and people start heading off stage, not in the direction of the combat, I think. But this, again, we're still kind of, you know, this is the first 12 seconds or so of the combat, so it's all kind of like, there's not like all of a sudden everybody's gone and stopped and everything, but this is like, you know, people are starting to react to what's going down, I think. But yeah, you can rage and barrel into the nearest guy, which I think is the other mace wielding guy, the one who just took swings at Miri.
Oh no, is Booga about to hit my snare?
I don't think so. No, he's coming from sort of
okay, different angle. Okay,
yeah, slightly different angle, I think.
That would have sucked.
The stair is farther backstage, right?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, like if they step in direction directly away from the crowd, they would go through a curtain and into your snare, I think is how I'm okay. picturing it.
Mm-hmm.
But Booga is coming directly like across the stage from side on.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I've rolled to hit, and my first hit is going to be a 23.
I mean, yeah, that hits.
So let me just check my damage here, because I'm raging. I've got a plus 2 melee damage.
Mm-hmm.
Nine.
Okay, that's a pretty decent hit.
Okay.
Do you get more than one attack?
Because I'm raging, I can frenzy, and I will do it again.
Alrighty.
13, though.
To hit. On this guy, actually does hit him, yes.
Hey. And it was a 5 for the next damage.
5 damage, okay. Okay, so yeah, he's taking a couple of good hits there, but he's definitely still up and kicking.
I don't think there's anything else I can do there, so yeah.
Yeah.
Would that count as flanking?
I think that would count as flanking, but yeah, because, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd get advantage on attacks, he just wouldn't get any bonus damage, because he's not rogue.
I didn't sneak up to him seething, full of rage.
Just walk up. I am so angry right
yelling
now.
The word
I hate you for ruining this show. Okay, it is your go, Kerrick.
Okay, so one dead, one netted.
Yeah.
One just got walloped. Does that leave the other guy completely untouched, or was that the guiding bolt guy?
Guiding bolt guy is dead.
Okay.
Guy netted is just netted. Other guy with a dagger has been hit. That was by Mimsy. Mm-hmm. And the other guy has just been hit by Booga. The three guys, one is, yeah, one netted, one Mimsied, one Boogered.
Okay, I think Kirk's going to take out his quarterstaff and cast Shillelagh on it. And that's a bonus action. So now I think he's just going to wallop the nearest dude.
Go for it. I think the nearest dude to you is going to be the netted guy, actually.
Oh, that feels wrong. He would feel bad.
Okay, well, you can wallop one of the other ones if you want.
True.
Look, no, I get it. You got to have ethics.
Yeah, Kirik would feel bad doing that unless it were, like, non-lethal damage. You just knock the guy out. I have the movement to hit dagger guy.
Yeah, you can get to him.
Okay, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to give dagger guy a nice little wallop.
Go for it.
That's a 15.
15 hits, yeah.
6 damage.
6 damage, okay. It is that dude's go. He is going to turn back to you and cast Inflict Wounds upon you.
Dude, that's nasty.
It is nasty. He's not a nice guy.
That makes me feel better about killing his friend.
I rolled an 11. I'm assuming that doesn't hit, though.
That just barely beats, yeah.
It does hit, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. 3d10 necrotic damage, so this is potentially a nasty one.
Is there a saving throw in that, or is it just straight damage?
Well, it's a melee spell attack, so
I've
got to beat your AC to... Yeah, there's no save, I don't think. Okay. That is 17 points of necrotic damage.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
So, yeah, you
I think Miri's probably in worse shape. It still hurts.
Yeah.
Does that continuously?
No, it's an instantaneous, anything? Like one-off.
Okay. Yeah, I suspect Miri is probably worse off than Kyrick is at this point.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. So he basically you run forward and you hit him with your staff and he can't take the hit and he sort of turns his head back to you and is kind of and just reaches out and grabs you on the wrist and this you feel this nasty kind of necrotic sickly kind of energy just spring from his fingers and sort of run up your arm and it's awful. It feels like dying, basically. As this kind of power just kind of goes through your body, it feels like you've been hit by all the sicknesses you've had in your life at the same time for just a moment. As it sort of saps your life force. That's pretty nasty for a first level spell, to be honest. 3d10 necrotic damage. I guess because it's touch. It's like,
yeah,
you're not gonna. Most spellcasters aren't gonna be getting in amongst it like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he just needs to die now. That's unfortunate for him.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to go do that?
Look what you're making me do, man.
So that's his turn. So like I say, he's kind of lit briefly by this sickly green light, and you just, oh, it's awful. That is his whole turn, though, and Miri, it's your go.
We didn't do Mimsy's turn.
Okay, it's Mimsy's turn. We'll slot Mimsy in
up,
now.
Fuck him up, Mimsy.
Yeah, Mimsy's not going to be super pleased. Well, I don't know how Mimsy feels about it, but...
Mimsy's fairly unknowable, but, like, Mimsy is your friend.
Yeah, we're gonna claw this man's up again.
Go for it.
16.
Yeah, I mean, that hits. So...
15.
Okay, so
I'm dagger guy.
So this guy gets a brief kind of, like, look of...
triumph and
yeah
then...
look of triumph on his face as he's kind of like hit you with this inflict wounds as of like a kind of you don't want to fuck with me, and then he's immediately interrupted by Mimsy just like eviscerating him. And I'm thinking he's kind of facing you. I'm sort of picturing Mimsy just kind of popping up behind him and just kind of slashing down as this guy is not like cut in half or anything, but like Mimsy just really like screw, you know, this guy is not getting up from this ever kind of thing, and is left in this pool of like gore on the ground as like he's kind of split open down the back and he just kind of flumps onto the ground. There's a spray of like blood across the stage, which suddenly there's some screams from the audience because this was a little bit more noticeable maybe. And
I have this mental image of Mimsy going, oops,
oh no, I made a mess.
Oopsie.
Mimsy.
Wait, Mimsy like really is a Pokemon.
Mimsy.
Mimsy.
Mimsy used slash. It was super effective.
I need to roll a strength check for the dude in the net. I forgot that.
Yeah.
That's a 3. He's still in the net. I feel like this is a this is always happens with this podcast. People get stuck in things that they need to save to get out of during combat, and they never do. Yeah, they never do. And turn goes by, and they're just there, either burning to death or like stuck in a net.
Can I turn to him and be like, stay down?
Well, it's your go. You can if you want.
I would like to turn and glare at him and stay down. Say, stay down.
He's making an intimidation check.
Why, sweetly.
Since he's just watching his friends get murdered while he's helpless on the floor, does that happen at advantage? Or does he not care about these people?
I don't think he cares enough. I think he's not just sitting there. He is trying to, like, he's spending his whole turn, both turns, trying to get out of the net. He's not, like, sitting there under the net going, wow, this is messed up stuff that's happening around me.
Oh, yeah. Fuck me.
Maybe the mission's more important.
Yeah, he is trying to get out. Like, his whole turn is spent getting out of the net, basically, and he's failing at
it. Got it.
So, what did you get for the intimidation?
That is a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. Oh, he's... He's suitably chastised, I think, and for the 20. Mm-hmm. And he sort of cowers a little bit from you. I think that would count as a bonus. You can still make your attacks if you want, I think. There's still the one dude who Booga was attacking.
Yeah, I would like to attack that dude.
Yeah, sure. I feel like this is kind of spilling out onto the stage at this point as well.
Okay.
Just to keep it a bit more cinematic.
I mean, as soon as Booga ran across, I was like, okay, never mind. We're going to go on stage.
Yeah.
So I would, I'm going to hit him with an 18 to hit.
Yeah, it hits.
I'm going to throw my last level 1 smite on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, 22 damage.
Okay, yeah.
Tasty.
Good lord.
Describe your victory, I guess, because this dude's fucking dead.
I would like to spear him onto stage.
Yeah, sure.
And all of a sudden I like turn to the crowd and I'm like, oh, hi.
You say spear him onto the stage. I'm kind of picturing you like kind of just getting a little bit of a run up and kind of going underneath, and he's sort of lifted up and you kind of twist in midair and kind of slam him down, spear stuck in him into the stage, and he kind of goes and coughs blood everywhere.
Yeah.
From out in the crowd you hear, good lord.
The other thing I would like to do, I don't know if we're going to get a rest after this or whatever, but the other thing I would like to do is I can do this thing called Inspiring Smite, which is after you deal damage to a creature with a Divine Smite feature, you can use your Channel Divinity as a bonus action and distribute temporary hit points to creatures of your choice within 30 feet of you.
Do it, yeah. I mean, go for it.
Okay. How are you looking, Booga?
I think I'm healthy.
Yeah, I don't think you've taken any damage yet.
Do you guys mind if I take all that? Because I'm down to like 28.
Yeah,
do what you need. Go for
it. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Okay, so yeah, I will take 17 hit points. Actually, 17 temporary, sorry.
Okay. At this point, you hear a shout ringing out across the stage. It's a woman's voice, and you hear, drop your weapons.
I immediately drop my weapon and it still has the dude on it.
I mean, it's not really dropping so much as like you just let go of it and it's still standing upright in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Booga, in a full rage still, is going to turn around kind of like eyes full of fury and look at her and like, who is this?
Walking onto the stage slowly is a woman wearing a red cloaked robe, but the hood is up, and she has Marianne by the throat with a dagger under her chin.
Mm-hmm.
As she steps onto the stage, she shrugs the hood back, and you can see it is a second Marianne. Any false moves and the girl dies.
Hmm. Well, you better watch yourself. I'm not making any promises.
And Booga brandishes his weapon towards her, like shakes it a little bit.
She turns her head and looks up at the king's box. The king, you can see, actually is sort of hands on the railing, has stood up and is looking down. She sort of glances up at him and says, "The age of the false lords is over from tonight. We will not suffer under the yoke of an upstart king." And she kind of gestures at him. I was going to say points at him, but she's got one hand on Marianne and one hand on a dagger, so it's a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
"And his decadent family of fools."
How does the king react to that? Can we sort of see what?
It's tough to, like I say, it's you can see him from here. It's a little bit less in. It's a bit more in darkness. He doesn't look happy about it. She's got the dagger and she sort of takes it slightly from Marianne's throat and gestures at him. "With his death, the chains of our master will be loosed and the true ruler of this realm shall reclaim his prize. Death to the Anarans!"
As she's doing this, where is she in initiative order?
That's a very good question, actually, because I got a 15 for her, but I kind of was playing it a little bit by ear there. So she's in between you and Kirik.
Oh, I'm ahead. It's going to hang on this, but Booga's going to run forwards. And as she's kind of gesturing up, he's going to take a swing at her arm, recklessly going for it.
Okay. I guess roll an attack roll.
23.
I mean, that's a hit.
And a 6 for the first damage. I will go for another one because I'm still in rage. 20. Oh, that's a crit to hit.
Okay.
Nice.
Roll your damage and double it.
Make it a quick coup, Booga.
That's an 11, so that's a 22.
Plus total. The 6 from before. Oh, plus the 4 on each one, right, from your strength. So we're looking at 28 plus 8. Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
We'll take that because 36. Essentially what you've done here is a kind of a Hulk interrupting Loki speech moment. in that I did have another good paragraph of my evil speech written out. But halfway through, Booga ran forward with his hammer and just went BAM! BAM! And she's fucking dead on the ground. Like
gesturing at the king was gesturing at the
So Marianne is very, very shaken because you've essentially reached over her to kill someone who was holding on to her at the time.
Was she still she had not pushed Marianne away from her?
No, because Booga kind of interrupted just before that was going to happen, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Looking down at the body, the spell that was on it made it look like Marianne sort of begins to melt away, revealing another a different young lady, but dead, definitely dead, on the floor of the stage here. Well done.
Booga's just stood over this, like, I suppose I'm trying to think of exactly how this happened. Like, did I decapitate, or did Booga decapitate this woman?
I think you
like,
just cracked. I mean, nearly, but as good as
with
you pretty much
hammer.
It's a warhammer, right?
It's just like that was a baseball swing. Like,
yeah, you pretty much like swung away, like just yeah. I mean,
like a grape.
Yeah, I mean. She's making a speech and you run up and cracked her in the head with your, like, ridiculously high-strength warhammer and just, like, I really am thinking, like, it's kind of like, yeah, she's just, like, her head is, like, cracked open, like, there's no coming back from this. Like, she has a pile of gore on the floor. Sort of.
I mean, with Marianne have been held and, like, I kind of, like, reach out to grab her, like as she would like fall away from being held. I suppose pull her away from that, and yeah, we're on stage in the middle of this, so
yeah,
maybe look out on stage and have a moment of like, I can explain.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, I would like to look at the dude in the gnat because I still have one of them in a gnat, and I'd like. And I'm like, you better explain some stuff.
At this moment, the royal guards appear on stage.
I think Kyrick is going to hastily undo his snare trap.
Right, yeah.
The last thing we need is to snare a guard.
Chaos!
Yeah. One of the Dragonborn is kind of, you know, not got any weapons, but is in a, like a combat stance. Claws out, and the half elf has a bow drawn and is kind of covering you.
I promise, this is all a misunderstanding. Marianne, this actress, this young girl here, she can explain everything. We promise.
Marianne is pretty insensible at this point, because due to the events, well, just her proximity to the murder you just did, I guess.
We have one of the co-conspirators here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to point wordlessly.
I will say in the background of this, a lot of the crowd is running for the exit. But the combination of Miri spearing a dude in the middle of the stage and then the whole thing and the shout of the death to the Anarans is like very much a thing of like, don't want to be here, and then immediate murder at the hands of Booga. Like, this is... so out of like how close to like.
I feel like she hadn't finished her sentence and Puga was just like, nope.
Yeah,
nope,
it was very much happening. Like she was mid monologue. Like we've made jokes throughout this, like you haven't heard any monologues. You didn't wait for me to finish the one monologue I did have. Like, which I'm fine with. But it was one of those things where I was just like, I had another paragraph. Like,
what a night at the cinema. Yeah. How fun.
Yeah, there's one dude with popcorn. He's just like, entertainment.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can picture at least one aristocrat who's definitely into this.
Yeah. There's a
blood sports, hell yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's definitely some people who haven't left their seats, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, kill the poor, kill the poor.
They've maybe taken the wrong message from it, but
shouts of chicken, I can imagine the next episode. Yeah. That will become the infamous call of just like, yes, chaos chicken.
The chaos chicken.
So yeah, you sort of dragging the guy in the net forward and presenting him as like, we've got a guy, or like you sort of seem to be saying that, yeah. There's more movement at the side of the stage, and you see the king and his guests kind of stride forward. Explain yourselves.
So we were in Colden's March, and we met this young lady who had been traveling, and I point to Marianne, and she said she was going to be performing in the opera. And you were going to be there, and that she'd been attacked. We found her, and and so we came here as soon as we could, and we wanted to make sure
they stole her face.
Yes, they stole her face. I will point to the probably pretty mangled face of the.
Yeah, there's not much of a face left there.
Of the corpse.
That kind of ruined the evidence a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, and I'm like.
But they saw. They were there.
Yeah, they saw.
Yeah. There were people who were plotting, I guess, and we stopped the plot, and you're welcome, sir, your highness, mister, Kaiser,
Mr. Your Highness?
Mr. King, sir, your highness, sir.
The dwarf companion of the king claps his hand on the back of the king and goes, well, this is a new one. So nods to the sort of vizier attendant. So, reckon we're done here, Rao? The half-elf nods, and before your eyes, the king and his party's appearance shimmers and disappears, and you are faced with four other guards also wearing ceremonial plate armor. The king himself, the age fades away from his face, and his face is still human. It's clearly not the king. Who sort of turns back to the dwarf and says, we should have waited till we were out of the auditorium. I'm Captain Berethorn, Cerulean Guard. Well handled. We had a tip-off from Captain Cutler that something was going down tonight, so hence the disguise. And he sort of waves it and goes, way to reveal it in front of this assembled people, these gestures at the few remaining people in the auditorium. Your help is much appreciated, but we do need to go through some of the details with you.
Okay. I think coming out of his rage, Booger's a bit worn out and a bit breathless. Is like,
well, yes, I'm glad that you appreciate the. I mean, I suppose we could have talked to you, but there was no knowing. Those disguises were pretty damn good.
They were under the seeming spell, I will say, so yeah.
Can I bring my lance, sir, please?
Oh, yes, go right ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna put a foot on the shoulder of the dude that I impaled. and pull my lance out. Yeah,
so essentially what happened was the I think your warning to the City Watch did get through. They just didn't feel the need to reply.
They just eat donuts.
Well, no, and like the City Watch guys, passed on your warning, but the Royal Guard then were like, well, this is now an operation, so we don't need to inform anybody what we're doing.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like, thanks for the tip-off.
Yeah.
We'll get to work.
Leave it to us, kind of thing, except they didn't bother replying to say thanks for the tip-off. They just...
Intelligence and cooperation for the win.
Yeah. So, essentially, yeah, what happened was the king has never been here tonight. Mm-hmm. This was all his guard all the time. I think at this point, Horace kind of shell-shocked sort of steps on stage and is like, oh God, I'm going to be ruined.
Poor Horace?
At least sort of looking at all this blood. And he face plants down on the stage in a dead faint as well.
I would like to take off. Is he wearing a jacket or something? Maybe I'll take the jacket off him and like pillow it under his head.
Yeah, he was wearing a tuxedo with like tail coat and everything. And
yeah. So I'll do that. I would like to take the jacket off him and like pillow it under his head.
Yeah. The at this point, one of the other guards, the one who was posing as the priest. Has taken custody of the guy in the net and sort of takes a look at him. Goes back to his captain, says, more of these guys.
You know them?
They all kind of exchange a look. So, we're not at liberty to divulge.
Okay.
Your cooperation is most appreciated, though.
Yep.
So I think maybe this is a fade-out moment with the camera pulling back. If it was a movie, you will be taken somewhere and properly debriefed, maybe. But you're not in any danger of being accused of anything, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, take it to a black site, uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you for your cooperation. We just need to follow some further questions. He's just taken out back and disposed of.
Yes.
Just tossed in the dumpster.
Yeah, they didn't do a great job of disposing of you. They just...
I'm not even dead. No. Just in the trash.
Not dead yet.
No, but you are let's just say, yeah, you are thanked profusely for your help and by the Royal Guard and mm-hmm. So maybe as a little kind of final scene then, a couple of days have passed, you've been thanked, you were given a little bit of gold as a thank you, I think, from the Royal Treasury. No, you're not rich by any stretch of it, you know, you haven't been made like dukes or anything, but mm-hmm. you've been thanked with, I think, 1,000 gold each for your trouble.
Cool.
Which, to be honest, is a shit ton of money in this setting.
Yeah, that's more money than Kirik has probably ever seen.
Yeah. Enough for Booger to buy himself a jacket if he wanted to.
Oh, and some.
Yeah.
I mean, all thoughts of that robbery or whatever was going on with that is... That's... It's a memory faded to the past.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for my net back, but now I'm going to buy a brand new net. Mama needs a brand new net.
Better than ever.
Marianne was also debriefed with you after being, obviously checked for any injuries and, because she was taken hostage briefly and that, and she was quite shaken by the whole situation. The word on the street is that, not all the details have been released to the public by any means, and a lot of speculation is going on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There is a newspaper, a local, there is... press in the city and everything, and there's wild speculation going on. There's quite lurid stories of Night of Horror at the Opera House, and that's
loosely caused by Miri.
Blood and Guts, and then Plot Against the King Revealed is another headline, and the Murder Cat makes another appearance ? By one of the tabloid type ones.
Puss in Boots walks among us? ?
Well, potentially there's been some other kind of Tabaxi killer. Ooh, stalking around.
Another murder cat.
Who knows? There's speculation. Nobody's really gotten the story really of what's gone down. There's been an official statement that sort of basically painting you three as deputies of the crown, foiling a plot, but not any details given out, really.
Mm.
So, you know, there's not people going like, it's them, they were the ones who killed all those people. You know, anything like that. But let's just say, yeah, you are now, you've been thanked, you've been debriefed, and you've been set off to do whatever it is you want to do. And we are a couple of days later, and I guess, where will we find you all a few days later?
Yeah, I think Booger's bought some new clothes, and with 1,000 gold, stocks and bonds, thoughts of these things come to mind.
Probably best not to get stock in the Opera House, though, at this point. It's
maybe not.
It needs some time for refitting.
He's going to spend some time trying to carouse a little bit and trying to go to some of the upmarket bars and taverns.
Yeah, and, safe to say you've been thoroughly ripped off for some drinks that you could get elsewhere for much cheaper.
Oh, no doubt. And I really don't think that with Booger being as smart as he is, best. So he's probably quite rapidly going to lose his money and find himself back on the run. Maybe he's got a few more books. Maybe he'll be like, well, next time I've learned things.
Yeah. Do you blow through your whole money? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. A fool and his money are soon parted.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously not in the couple of days, I think. Probably, right? But...
well, this being nobles that he's playing with. I mean, that's a whole little scenario that could play out there.
Well, we don't need to go into detail there. So let's just say that, like, we'll leave it as that. Okay. The future is briefly bright for Booger, and maybe, as you say, a fool and his money soon parted.
Yeah, Booger's invested. It might not be a good-looking investment, yeah, to be honest.
Fair enough. What about Kirik? How do we find Kirik after this is all blown over?
I think Kirik has beelined it to the nearest city park, hoping that there's, like, a little bit of greenery here.
There is, yeah. There is a major actual druidic kind of
center. Oh, that's
right. Yeah,
yeah, we talked about that.
We did, yeah, the Dream Glade.
I think he would definitely go there, yeah. He would definitely go there.
It's a large city park, essentially. It's kind of its own little mini district. In that it's, you know, it's walled off and everything. As you step inside it on your first visit, you're surprised to find the noise of the city seems to kind of melt away into the background, as less oppressive as it is everywhere else. And you find yourself in a little slice of comforting nature and peace in the middle of the busy city, in the Dream Glade. There's a sort of little druidic grove in the middle where, you know, rarer plants are tended by people with knowledge similar to yourself, and that, and you find it as a little haven for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's just where he's gonna hide out. Just hang in.
Just chill and de-stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. try not to spend all your money in chocolate shops, I guess.
Okay, well, now what
I'm
going to do.
I'm not judging. If you want to, you can.
No, I think he's going to save it until he finds something that he really wants to spend it on.
Yeah, fair enough. And how about Miri? How does... what's Miri's journey after this, I guess?
Miri's... we pull up, you know, the camera pans in on Miri, and she is sitting at a dock somewhere with fishing rod. And a nice shiny tackle box. And she used some gold to buy some nice shiny new lures. And tucked into her belt is a bespoke net.
Custom job.
Yes.
Well, you don't even need to leave the city, because the Whispershore docks are on the north coastline of the part of the city. It's a busy, bustling port. But it's a wide enough shoreline that there's definitely some choice fishing spots you can find yourself at, and some relaxation as the thaw begins, as the end of winter is. It's still some way away, but the harsh winter storms are looking to be a memory.
And as the camera pulls away, we see Miri pull in a fish and spear it with her lance, like unnecessarily large lance for a tiny fish.
It's a little, it's the same lance that you just killed a dude with back to back to use as a fishing implement.
And I've got this tiny little like perch on the end.
This is a little bit
just chilling there.
Yeah. Cool. So I think we'll bring it to a close there then. There's some questions as to the future of the Opera House. I don't think they'll close. They've got some nice patrons as we met earlier on. But they're going to need some work to reshape the sort of stories and reputation gained by the combat that happened there.
Oh yeah, what happened to Marianne?
I think you did all meet up with her, I think, after all gave your stories and everything, and she thanked you all for everything you've done and everything, and sort of said she might stick around in the city for a little bit, but she's looking forward to returning to Ashala as soon as she can. And, some place that feels a bit more like home, I think. A warm parting, I think, of friends, I think, there. Is it from, she's not like, I don't want to talk to you, you murdered somebody over my shoulder. You know, she's happy for, she's happy you all are all right, and you stopped the plot, and but she's going to Disneyland. She's going to take a vacation to the, somewhere a little warmer, I think. Yeah.
So, some place with castles inhabited by mice.
Yeah, somewhere whimsical.
Giant
less
mice.
Murdery.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we're going to fade out on this little group for now. Who knows? We may see them again at some point. But this has been fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode and for this little storyline. We really hope you've all enjoyed it. As I said at the top of the episode, we'll be back in 4 weeks' time with our Frontier Season 1 sort of retrospective recap episode. And following that, 2 weeks after, on May 23rd, we'll be back with the start of Season 2 of Frontier. And we really hope you'll all join us for that. In the meantime, you can find us at pretendingwithdice.com. There's links there to all of our social media presences, our Discord server, our Ko-Fi page, merch store, and much, much more. For now, that's our show. We hope you all enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.